U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis abruptly announced his resignation in protest against President Donald Trump's decisions, including the surprise decision to pull troops out of Syria and plans for a drawdown in Afghanistan. With the ousting this month of John Kelly as White House Chief of Staff, James Mattis was the last of Mr. Trump's old guard national security team, leaving policy in the hands of the likes of Mike Pompeo, the president's second Secretary of State, and John Bolton, the third White House National Security Advisor. What does Mattis's resignation mean for the U.S. foreign and military policies? Find out more in tonight's debate.
The year 2018 is on the verge of turning, but not exactly for better for U.S. President Donald Trump. The deepening crises in the White House have reached their peak. The wave of departures in the Trump administration has now hit one of its most high-profile officials. On Thursday, the embattled president took to Twitter to announce his Defense Secretary James Mattis, a highly respected retired Marine Corps general, has resigned. Just one day after the commander-in-chief announced his decision to withdraw all American troops from Syria, as well as reports of a major withdrawal of American soldiers from Afghanistan, Mattis presented his resignation letter following a failed attempt to make Trump reconsider his decision. In the open letter, which could be seen by many as a rebuke of Trump running the country, Mattis was straightforward about the different approaches he and the president had on subjects such as the treatment of allies and other issues on the world stage.
Because you have the right to a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours on these and other subjects, I believe it is right for me to step down from my position.
The sudden walkout sparked negative reactions from high-rank officials from both Republican and Democrat parties. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell expressed his grave reservations about Mattis' resignation, saying the officials leaving due to sharp differences with the president is, quote, distressing. Democrat Leader of the House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi said she was shaken by the departure news. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer grabbed the opportunity to once again point out that the administration of Donald Trump is chaos-stricken.
Everything that indicates strength, everything that indicates knowledge, is leaving this administration. General Kelly, General Mattis, so many others.
McMaster,
exactly. There is chaos now in this administration.
Analysts say Mattis tried to show that his resignation is a protest against President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw American forces from Syria.
He remained in his office, obviously, because he was there to do a job which did not necessarily involve implementing the directions given to him by his commander-in-chief. He clearly now has great difficulty with Trump's latest decision to withdraw both from Syria and Afghanistan, and he's trying to portray his resignation as some kind of a protest of that decision, which in fact may turn out to be not much of a decision at all.
A president who's only been in office for 2 years now is already facing a number of daunting challenges. The landmark departure of Mattis amounts to all the factors which will apparently make 2019 a tough year awaiting President Trump.
Well, joining us on tonight's debate, we've got former American intelligence linguist Mr. Scott Ricard joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida, and also editor of Veterans Today, Mike Harris, is joining us from Phoenix. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Scott Ricard. Mr. Ricard, what was the tipping point that led to James Mattis's decision?
Well, I think when you look at James Mattis, you're looking at an old guard of individuals who have supported war their entire careers. James Mattis's philosophy was based on Sewell, the Roman dictator, where you take political power by force. He was extremely anti-Iranian, He enjoyed murdering people on the field in Iraq. He actually boasted about it. So this is not a guy who should be a hero or a great general. This is a murderer. This is a war criminal. And unfortunately, he comes from a long line of individuals in the intelligence community that not only worked under the George Bush administration, but also under the Obama administration. And a lot of these guys worked together that have been let go. Kelly, obviously, was very good friends with Mattis. Certainly, you had Mike Flynn. They were associated. And you take other people off the chart that have not been mentioned, individuals like James Stavridis. James Stavridis, who now is at the Carlyle Group, which, let's be clear here, this is a right-wing military-industrial complex group, very similar to where Pompeo comes from, a right-wing aerospace defense industry background, congressman, Koch brother follower. You know, these groups actually work together behind the scenes, but it looks as if a lot of the former left-wing generals, James Clapper-type friends, James Clapper was very good friends with these individuals as well, are being pushed out because of their actually ideology. And whenever they're questioned, obviously, they believe that because of Trump is very naive, they're basically not following orders that Trump wants them to follow. Now, at the same time, Trump's doesn't have a strategy. He's not cleaning the swamp. These are individuals that will be easily replaced by other military-industrial complex individuals. You still have people like General Schmeidel, who work at Endgame, the cyber warfare company in the U.S. Schmeidel is absolutely connected to the administration from a cyber warfare perspective, and certainly all the individuals who used to work for these particular generals are still within the government. So Trump will come and go. The policies will not change based upon the individuals who run them. I mean, a lot of these people have group connections to the Chatham House, to the Carnegie Foundation, to all of the you know, really superior foundations that really run the American government. So the fact that Trump is having a disagreement with one of his generals, not going to have much change, unfortunately, on the future of American foreign policy.
Mike Harrison, Phoenix. Mr. Harris, would you like to weigh in on that?
Well, first, let me compliment Donald Trump on deciding to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. I need to point a couple of things out. One of them is that the U.S. Congress has made no declaration of war. There is no U.N. resolution. The Syrian government has not invited the U.S. Military into their country. Ergo, the U.S. military presence there is illegal, and all of our active duty who are currently in Syria are subject to war crime type tribunals should they anything unseemly occur. The other thing is that no U.S. soldier, according to the UCMJ, is forced to follow illegal orders. And the orders that any soldier would be given in Syria would, by their very nature, because there is no legal reason for the U.S. to be there, all of these orders are illegal. And so I applaud Donald Trump for doing the right thing and pulling the U.S. military out of Syria. I applaud him for this. This is one of the major reasons he was elected, and that is to keep the U.S. out of these foreign entanglements, these foreign wars. We've spent $7 trillion between Iraq and Afghanistan and got nothing for it. Now imagine what the U.S. would be like if we had reinvested that into our own infrastructure, into our own educational system, highways, airports, all of that. We have wasted that money for the purpose of enriching the military-industrial complex. The U.S. has been running a military economy since the end of World War II, and it's time that we got off the military economy and went develop something more productive as the foundation for our entire economy here.
Mr. Ricard, let's talk about the timing of this resignation. It came after a day after Trump announced that he was pulling U.S. troops out of Syria, and his administration reportedly also plans to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. Trump had promised in his 2016 presidential campaign to pull out those troops. The question at this point, I think, is why is this all coming as a surprise, maybe to people like Mattis? Shouldn't they have expected this from the first place?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, you know, Mike Harris is absolutely right. The Americans have wasted way too much money on war. The fact that any troops are being pulled out of anywhere, I laud that as well. But let's be clear here that Donald Trump's words itself were, we'll let somebody else continue the fight. The Americans are very good at this. It's called proxy warfare. The Americans will not discontinue supporting the Saudis, the Jordanians, the Israelis, and maybe even the Turkish may come back into power. There is a $3.5 billion Patriot missile system on the table right now that the Americans are trying to sell Turkey. So let's talk about that timing pulling out. There has been some confrontation between the individuals that are being supported by the United States, what I'll call Al-Qaeda 3.0 or ISIS 2.0. They are in El Hasaka and the YPG, PKK. They are heavily armed. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been invested in these forces. Lots of training and lots of air support has been provided. They have hunkered down. They have tremendous amounts of weaponry. So this will be the next force that will other people will do the fighting. So to say that Donald Trump is pulling American troops out, that is absolutely correct. To say that Donald Trump is not involved in foreign wars, that is absolutely incorrect. He still will be heavily involved. Mike Pompeo is absolutely a full force ahead. So the timing of this, absolutely the timing, I believe, had a lot to do with, one, not only getting American troops out of danger, there was a lot of activity going on in the region they were in, but two, also placating a relationship with Turkey so that Turkey does not buy S-400s and buys U.S. Patriot missile systems at the price of $3.5 billion and potentially saving a NATO partner from defecting.
Mr. Harris, what do you have to say about that?
Well, Mr. Rickard makes some valid points, and I would like to point out that it was U.S. Senator John McCain from my state of Arizona who traveled to Syria illegally and met with ISIS commanders and pledged them funding under the guise of having a civil war in Syria. Well, let me tell you, this war was never a civil war. This was a mercenary war with foreign sponsors, the U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabia, others, that went in there with the purpose of toppling the Syrian government. This was never about a civil war. They didn't get traction with the civil war because the Syrian people love Bashar al-Assad. Now, I've been to Syria on multiple occasions. I have met with the Syrian Arab Army High Command. I've met with their Minister of Defense. I've met with their Minister of Justice. They've shared intelligence with me and with the group I was with from Veterans Today. The war in Syria was not what it was painted. This was an attempt to topple and crush the Syrian government. That's all it was, by outside mercenary forces who were paid to go in there. Other things that I observed when I was in Syria. How does ISIS take possession of U.S.-made TOW missiles? TOW missiles are made by Raytheon Corporation in Tucson, Arizona. I've been to the factory. I've toured the factory. I've seen the TOW missile manufacturing line there. How does ISIS, a terrorist group, come into possession of such advanced U.S.-made weaponry unless it's being supplied by the U.S. government or being supplied by one of our trusted allies? Either way, there is a problem with U.S. policy here. Now, the serial numbers on those TOW missiles are available, and our State Department is supposed to keep track of these things and can chase these things down and find out who was providing the terrorists with support, which is a crime. And these are the things. Our government is not running honestly. It's running illegally, and it has been for a very, very long time, going back to at least 9/11. But they create terrorist groups in order to justify a war in the country that they target. And this is just flat wrong. And this is what I think and what I hope Donald Trump is trying to combat. Mr. Rickard makes a point. Yes, he is surrounded by neocons. The Department of Defense needs to be purged. The Department of State needs to be purged. We can see the dysfunction in our Department of Justice by what's going on there. But the swamp still needs to be drained. And many of us are supporting Donald Trump in his efforts to clean house.
Mr. Rickard, James Mattis's major complaint was that Donald Trump had lost sight of the importance of the competition for global power with the likes of Russia and China, who want a quote, a world consistent with their authoritarian model. How do you see his difference with Trump on that issue?
Well, let's look at James Mattis. I mean, his father was part of the Manhattan Project. His mother was part of the OSS working in South Africa for what became the CIA. This is a guy who spent his entire life within the what I'd call the black ops life of America. Certainly, James Mattis is not guilty of anything. He grew up in America. This is what's happened here. At the same time, he's aligned himself with individuals I mentioned earlier, like James Stavridis. And these guys are very powerful individuals. And these guys, they have, you know, extremely good ties. I mean, look at the way that the media is just lauding now James Mattis and how horrifying it is that he's being let go. You know, both on the left and the right, they're calling it out. The fact is that these are individuals that are indoctrinating, not only through Operation Mockingbird that happened in the 1950s through the media organizations, but also through our school systems. Let's not forget that James Stavridis was the dean of the Fletcher School of Law at Tufts University prior to taking his kingmanship at the Carlyle Group. So this is a group of individuals that not only trains State Department individuals from their collegiate days, but also trains CIA individuals in postgraduate universities and what they call, these Fulbright scholarships around the world. This is the kind of organization that the world is up against. It's a very well-established organization. It's not a left-right paradigm as being perceived by anybody that thinks that they can go in and clean the swamp. The swamp is extremely deep. You might have a chance to siphon off a few individuals, but the corruption is just so far embedded in the American political, educational, and financial, as well as military and petroleum industries, that it will take lifetimes of individuals to not only identify the problem of the root causes, but also, unfortunately, resolve the issues, hopefully generations from now.
All right, Mr. Harris, one thing is for sure, that by next year, James Mattis will be gone. That means a new U.S. defense secretary must be named. The question is, what will the U.S. military and foreign policies look like under a new defense secretary? And do you expect him to be more aligned with the views of Donald Trump, or maybe in the opposite direction? And we'll see a policy shift, a major one, as a matter of fact.
Well, first off, I'd like to apply for the job of Secretary of Defense myself. And if Donald Trump needs any recommendations on who would be some very, very capable individuals who could run that department very well, I'd certainly help him name a handful of guys who are clean, who truly are America firsters. Now, the problem is, and Mr. Rickard is spot on this, the swamp is deep. It has a lot of depth to it. The United States needs to be fundamentally rebuilt from the bottom up. The main problem we have here is that we are supposed to be a constitutional republic. However, our constitutional republic is in name only. We do not listen to the will of the people. The people do not want these foreign involvements. The people do not want this global empire of 986 bases scattered around the world. That does not benefit the American people in the least. It benefits those who wish to control global trade, global commerce, and all the wealth and riches that go with it. But it doesn't benefit the American people. And, you know, is government here to serve the American people as a constitutional republic, or are we here to serve the empire? And many of us don't want to serve the empire. We want the government to serve us. And that is what I believe Donald Trump is trying to do. I hope that he is successful on this. I certainly have his back on it, and many, many others do. The problem is that this is such a powerful, deeply entrenched group. How do we get rid of them? We have lifetime bureaucrats out there, the whole senior executive service out there that can't be fired. Those guys, the bureaucrats who run administration through administration through administration and serve 25, 30-year careers and can't be fired, who have their own policy objectives. That's not a representative constitutional republic like we have. And we need to reform that. We need to change it. And the American people need to have a voice on how this country is run, period.
Mr. Rickard, U.S. Military and foreign policies under a new defense secretary.
Well, I mean, it all depends on who it is. You know, obviously, Trump's going to surround himself with people like Nikki Haley, John Bolton. Unfortunately, he likes that. He likes the yes men. He likes the pro-Israel firsters. That's been sort of his status quo. Look at his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. So I think that's probably what we could expect. It's not going to be anything, a kind of improvement that, unfortunately, Mr. Harris is hoping for. Sadly, you know, Pompeo is a Koch brother, aerospace defense industry veteran. He's a West Point graduate, very much like the Petraeus type of line of thinking. So I expect no changes whatsoever. I expect just another yes man to be pulled into the office. Trump does not like to be questioned, and he certainly doesn't have a strategy of his own and whatsoever.
All right, so that's all the time we have for tonight's edition of The Debate. Allow me to thank my guests, former American intelligence linguist Mr. Scott Ricker, joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida, and also editor of Veterans Today, Mr. Mike Harris, joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. Gentlemen, thank you for contributing to the program, and also a special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us here on Press TV's Debate. It's good night, and see you next time.